European leaders hunker down and prepare for a crucial summit on Friday.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Pay no attention to the ratings agencies. We've got a continent to save. That's the rough translation of what German Chancellor Angela Merkel said this morning. She was talking about S&P's warning that it may downgrade the credit ratings of 15 Eurozone countries. The more important issue for European leaders this week is coming up with a long-term solution to the debt crisis in time for a summit on Friday. For more, let's bring in the BBC's Christian Fraser. He's with us now from Paris. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, bring us up to date on what is expected at this point out of this big summit on Friday.
Well, that's right. We're heading to a big summit on Friday, which will bring together all the 17 Eurozone countries. What France and Germany are keen to do is sort out the policing of the Eurozone economies. They want to put in place penalties in the future that will try and keep governments to a tight line on spending and taxation. What they think they have is an agreement in principle, but of course that has to be debated among the other countries on Friday.
And Christian, our own Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is on a bit of a European grand tour right now. What's he up to?
Well, President Obama constantly tells the American public that the biggest danger to the American economy is the headwinds from Europe. So I think the very fact that he's here on this grand tour is a very deliberate signal that the White House is worried. And worried not just at the fundamentals of the economies in the Eurozone, but worried the Eurozone countries aren't doing enough, need to be kept to the mark. So he'll be looking at all the plans. He's in Germany today, he'll be in France tomorrow, he'll be in Milan on Thursday. I think the only wonder is that he's not going to the big summit in Brussels on Friday. I guess that might be too sensitive, perhaps a step too far. But we are seeing the White House playing an increasing role, and hardly surprising, I would say, given what's at stake.
The BBC's Christian Fraser in Paris, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Well, we got news this morning that economic growth across the Eurozone was just 0.2% last quarter. Now, when we get figures like that, we're mostly getting a sense of what's going on in the formal above-board economy, the one in which people pay taxes and follow labor laws. But journalist Robert Neuwirth says there's a lot more to it than that. He's just written a book called Stealth of Nations, The Rise of the Informal Economy, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first of all, describe the informal economy. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's all the businesses that fly under the radar of government attention or government control. Businesses that may not get registered, may not get licensed, and may not be paying taxes, but are doing business in legal product, just in a quasi-legal way.
And you say that half of the workers in the world are working in jobs that are off the books right now.
Absolutely. It's 1.8 billion people, and that will rise to two-thirds of the workers in the world by the end of this decade.
Why are so many people operating in this informal economy?
Well, the formal economy is not working for people. It's very simple. It's a combination of too many rules and regulations that cost too much for people and people just trying to survive in a difficult economy.
So you think that we should embrace this informal economy?
Absolutely. I think it's imperative that we embrace it. Totally in the world, about $10 trillion worth of trade is happening this way. So, I mean, I don't think we're talking about embracing criminality. I think we're talking about finding an alternate way for people to develop the economy that reaches further into the population so that more people are doing well.
Maybe it reaches further into the population, but it also probably doesn't have labor laws, ways to settle business disputes in court or anything like that.
Look, I think that's a canard. Labor laws are not very well developed in most of the world, although they are here. And as far as business disputes, informal marketplaces around the world are creating their own courts to be able to adjudicate and solve disputes between buyers and sellers. So it's not unsystematic. It's just happening beneath the radar.
Robert Neuwirth's new book is called Stealth of Nations, The Global Rise of the Informal Economy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in global trading this morning, down more than 1% in Tokyo and just a hair right now in Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 78 points to close at 12,097.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
At a conference in San Francisco today, researchers from the Scripps Institution of Oceanography will present new findings about severe winter storms in California. They'll show a linkage between those storms and air pollution from Asia. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner explains.
Air pollution from dust storms in central China has been wafting over to the U.S. for years. Now, researchers say it may be intensifying precipitation in California's Sierra Nevada. Atmospheric chemist Kim Prather compared cloud particles from two winter storms there. One contained lots of local air pollutants, mainly wood smoke. The other, mostly dust pollution from China's deserts. Turns out the China dust produced a lot more precipitation.
It was about 1.4 times as much snow coming down. And from the standpoint of collecting our water supply, if it comes down in the form of snow, that's considered better for us because it's an easier way to store our water supply in California.
That's possibly the most positive spin you can put on dust pollution, but Prather cautions much more research is needed.
You know, there's lots of reasons you can get a lot more snowfall.
Prather plans to continue sampling the pollutants in California's snowfall for more clues. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, to the British singer Adele, who has a rider in her contract that stipulates the following, according to the website The Smoking Gun. At every concert, there has to be a small plate of individually wrapped sandwiches that do not contain tomatoes, vinegar, chili, or citrus fruit. And she wants 12 bottles of the best quality European lager beer. It actually says in the contract, North American beer is not acceptable. Well, I guess now we know what she meant when she said we could have had it all. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.